Welcome to Sunset Conversations, a BullfrogEntertainment.com production. I am your host, Papa Mark Lichterman, along with my partner, production coordinator, Mark Florkowski. On the 15th and 30th of each month, we will present you with an interesting and entertaining topic. One exception, that pesky February will be the 28th. Our podcast is a mixed bag of our daily life experiences as they relate to us and all of you. We look at personal observations. These may include such topics as fruits, coffee, teenage relationships with grandparents, traffic, vacations, daily frustrations, and joys. Our goal is to show the audience how ridiculous, silly, and of course joyful our lives can be. Each episode will end with a big smile, like when eating ice cream. Please enjoy our Sunset Conversations as we take you through the journey of life. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to info@bullfrogentertainment.com. Can you smell it? That unmistakable, magnificent, rich aroma of fresh brewed coffee. I don't know about you, but I find it problematic in the morning to begin my day without a cup of coffee. The history behind that cup of coffee is filled with adventure, deceit, rituals, wars, and even health benefits. Mark and I touch on a small portion of what is the story behind coffee. I, for one, was astonished as I began the research. Coffee can be as serious as civilizations revolting around it. It can also be an avenue to comfort, relaxation, and community. Please join us as we take you on a brief journey into the world of coffee. In fact, why not have a cup as you listen? Hey everybody, once again, thanks for tuning in. This is our inaugural podcast, and Mark and I both hope that just like a fine bottle of wine or a really good bourbon, as time goes on, we will improve and just get better and better. Mark, I'm just thinking that being that we're going to have a podcast about coffee, maybe we should start 10 years ago in a situation that really had nothing to do with coffee.
10 years ago is probably a perfect time to start. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So, yeah, 10 years ago, I went to, of all places, England and visited some family there in a small town called Ivy Bridge. And we went for a wedding and had a tent out in the country. It was very English. I wore wellies, as they're called.
Wellies? You gotta be kidding me.
Big high boots.
Oh, I love the British. They have all these slang terms that I got to pick up on. Go for it.
I actually learned that wellies are, or Wellingtons, are kind of like what we use as like Kleenex, a term, just a name of a company that makes boots. There's all kinds of boots, but they call them wellies. And it was just awesome. Everything was very British or English about the entire trip. There was virtually no coffee that I drank at all. It was tea. I think even at the wedding, it was tea and cake, if I remember right.
No coffee is a bad thing. No coffee. As a matter of fact, I can't live if I'm not fully caffeinated.
No coffee at all. So now we jump ahead 10 years, and we go back to England to visit my sister-in-law, the nephew and his wife now, Faye, who we had married 10 years previous. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking I'm going to be drinking Nescafe.
Nescafe with the little brown cap little, on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
And how many teaspoons am I going to add? And how,
I think you should start with tablespoons.
Yes, you're exactly right. And I'm going, I love coffee, all kinds of coffees, but I can also drink all kinds of coffees. And I thought, well, so it's 2 weeks on Nescafe, I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So there I am with, ironically, Nescafe, because that's what my sister-in-law has in her cabinet.
Did you check the date on that Nescafe?
I did not, but I don't. It's one of those things. I don't think it can go bad. I think it's what is it, honey, that can be found thousands of years later.
It's one of those things you put in the safe room, so you know it never goes bad.
It never goes bad. It's just
along with spam.
Spam in that, you're set. Have a little honey, have a little spam, have a little Nescafe. You're straight. You're ready to go for the day. My niece Lisa, who now is ironically already 50 years old, it's hard to believe, she takes a look and says, Uncle Mark, you're not going to be drinking Nescafe the whole 2 weeks you're here, are you?
Oh, goodness. An adult entered the room.
I cannot even believe. And I said, well, what's my choice? And she happened to have, which we then visited the coffee house to get more, some Owens fresh roasted organic coffee.
All right, now you're talking.
And yes, I used what's called the French press.
Oh, now you're really talking.
And so I had to learn the patience of the French press, the press of the French press. It was absolutely fantastic, and I'm drinking great coffee. It was just hard to believe. I never imagined.
I think that's fantastic, but I'm still trying to get my head around French press because I think I'm at Planet Fitness.
Yes, that's it's unbelievable. It makes a very good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to use. There's no buttons to push. You just put in the coffee.
Well,
and stir it up.
You know, truth be known, I do know what that is.
The French press.
Yeah, but it still makes me think of the gym.
I had no idea really. And so from there, we decided to take my sister-in-law. It was her birthday, and that was part of why we were going to England. We take her to St. Ives, a small town in Cornwall, right on the seaside.
Oh, you got to tell the story. I remember you've told this story before.
Yes, a beautiful, beautiful town. All your cobblestone streets, just narrow enough for one car to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Throngs of people walking up and down. Their summer season had just started, which would be...
And you were driving?
I was not driving. Everything's wrong side of the street. No, no, I'm not driving. And there you have to really watch out for seagulls, which they warn you ahead, because they will steal your ice cream, steal your sandwich, steal anything that edible that might be in your hands.
Gotcha.
They swoop down and it's in 2 seconds, it's gone.
And they'll fight you for it.
They will fight you for it. And so my niece's, Lisa's boyfriend, Chris, says, why don't we go for an English breakfast? And so we go to one of the places in town, and there they have a couple of eggs over easy, some bacon, some sausage, or bangers, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Bangers, yes.
They're toast, and what makes it very British then is they give you a little side of baked beans as well.
Isn't that something else?
Very, unusual, but it all works. It was a fantastic breakfast. And then he recommends the drink of choice at this breakfast cafe or whatever, of all things, a chocolate-dusted cappuccino.
Very unusual.
I thought, it'd be some kind of special tea or something, but...
Right. It's England.
Breakfast, and the cappuccino was fantastic. My nephew also, once we got back from St. Ives, took me to an island, the island of Burr, which actually Agatha Christie wrote a number of her books on that island.
Interesting. But I'm still wrapping my head around the island's name, Burr.
Burr, yes. And it's B-U-R-G-H, and I had to learn to pronounce it properly.
Silence that G, huh?
You got to silence that G. And as you'll notice in our podcast, sometimes my Chicago accent and that will destroy certain words or get in the way.
Well, we have competing Chicago accents. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, so... We will work accordingly with that. There was an inn on that island called the Pilchard Inn, and that was built somewhere around 1330, 1343.
I love that. I just love, we live in 100-year-old houses. They have 400 or what's that's really old.
I mean, it was just very awesome, very old and rich inside. Great history that goes along with the place. I believe on our webpage we'll have some information on that location and that. And so we decided we would have a couple of Guinness,
And I go up to the counter, and there's one guy working. And I said, I'll take two Guinness. And he says, okay, but you'll have to wait. And I go, okay, fine. And he says, I have to make a bunch of coffees for the people on the other side of the bar. And I look, and they have got probably a 3 or 4 foot long, magnificent coffee producing machine. And this guy's making cappuccinos, espressos, lattes, all kinds of coffee for these folks. And it makes me think back to the pirate days that, geez, if I was a pirate coming in here, like, that would really be upsetting that I can't get myself a swill of beer or rum.
Rum.
Ahead of a coffee. And yet, in reality, pirates, ironically, did steal coffee when it was first found. And I'm sure they probably added some rum into it also.
I should hope so.
So that was quite interesting that here I am waiting for my cup of coffee. And eventually, yes, I did get it. We also, let me think, where else did we go while we were there that had to do with coffee? Oh, before we go anywhere else, when we first arrived, prior to us arriving at Heathrow Airport, my niece Lisa was a little concerned on how to pick us up. She doesn't regularly pick people up. And she thought I might be afraid that she wouldn't find us at the airport. So she sent me a YouTube video. And, you know, everything today is...
10 years ago, YouTube video? I'd love to see that video. Boy, would I love to see it.
So, yes, this shows you how to pick someone up at Terminal 3. And
10-year-old how-tos.
I wanted to, you know, take a guess, Mark. What does it tell you to do after you've done all the figuring out of how to get there? You're finally there. You can sit down and relax. What would you think they would tell you to do after that while you wait for your passengers?
Go find a banger?
Of all things, it tell you, they say, have yourself a cup of coffee.
I would not have come. That didn't hit my mind.
Again, I was like, everything around me is coffee. No one knows I'm doing anything with coffee. And every time I turn, it's coffee. And here I am in England. So another surprise to me, she did find us. She picked us up. We at one point then went to a town called Plymouth, which many of us may know of because I believe that's where
pilgrims
came from, yes. So we go to the mall in Plymouth. And the first thing I see when I walk into the mall is, of all things, a Starbucks.
That sounds wonderful. And when it was you're like, so far away from home.
Am I home? The next thing I see is a store that sells sporting apparel from only American professional sporting teams.
America rules the world.
I thought it was at Woodfield Mall.
I could understand that.
Right in the heart of the British world, and I'm looking at cappuccinos from Starbucks and American clothing.
Capitalism knows no limits.
Quite unusual. After leaving there, my nephew decided that for his mom and for myself and my wife, he would have us go to a British high tea, and that was in Borington Hall, which again has a crazy long history. Queen Elizabeth I had been there. Sir Walter Raleigh, I think it was.
This is getting very interesting. High tea. Mm-hmm. Old traditions.
Very old.
I would be a little nervous attending my first high tea.
I mean, I thought I had to, you know, dress differently and all of that, which I didn't do, but I imagined I'd be out of place possibly. No, it's become very modernized. You could probably go in there with flip-flops on, and they literally wouldn't care.
All right, I feel better now.
What would you imagine, again, if you're going to high tea and your server comes and he asks you, what would you like to drink? Would you think it would be...
Well, you're teeing me up with a question.
I am.
And I know that we've got the situation here. And obviously, it must have shocked you.
I could not believe it.
Would you like coffee or tea?
Yes. Yes, that was just... With coffee being the first preference to all of us, myself, my wife, and my sister-in-law.
Times have changed.
And I looked and said, well, this is high tea. I have no choice but to defer to the tea. And so I did drink a tea, which was very good. But to be asked, you want coffee at high tea?
Again, interesting.
It was quite interesting. Near the end of our trip, we decided to have a birthday party for my sister-in-law. And we go to my nephew's house. Their daughter, or I don't know what she is, a second niece, third niece at that point, but she's 9 years old. She has a history already of making a phenomenal cup of coffee. I don't know that she made that particular pot. I don't think she did, but she's got all the directions to do so, and her mom mentioned that to us. It turns out that coffee that she made, Jaramilla Cafe, which we're drinking actually as we're...
Yeah, it's like awesome. It's like really. You know, I'm a definite coffee caffeination hound, and this stuff is good.
It's really good. It was probably one of the best cups I've ever had. It's produced by a fifth generation family. Fella of the family lives in London. My niece Lisa knows him and purchases his coffee. In fact, she sent one with another sister-in-law that just came back recently. That's why we're drinking it, because if you go to their website,
I understand. It's tough with a Chicago accent.
On our website, again, we'll have the name and spellings and all that. They only deliver the coffee to England and Poland.
Oh, I'm in.
But it's a fantastic cup of coffee. And so what else? What else do we got about England? I would say that the next time, if any of you were to go to England, rather than their famous 3 p.m. tea that they have, you might want to just have a delicious fresh-roasted cappuccino, latte, or just a good old black cup of coffee.
Well, you know, you can always count me in when you're offering black coffee.
Hey, doing a podcast about coffee can be a lot of fun. In Sunset Conversations, will always be fun, all about sharing our adventures, experiences, and travels with you. To make it really interesting, we will get into doing a lot of research, and that research means details. We're going to share those details with you and let you know some of them can be very interesting and at times odd and curious, sometimes just plain unbelievable. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode.
Okay, well, I guess before we get into other features and characteristics and everything else with coffee, let's touch a little bit on the origin and cultivation. And for those of you who don't know, there's basically two types of coffee, Arabica and Robusta. Arabica is originally grown in Ethiopia. It likes very high elevations, 600 to 2,000 meters. You can convert that into feet if you so wish. It requires cooler climates with abundant moisture and nutrient-rich soil. Arabica plants are a bit more susceptible to pests and diseases, which makes them more challenging and, of course, more costly to cultivate, and therefore Arabica coffees are a bit more expensive for us as opposed to Robusta.
And now it's my turn to represent Robusta.
Uh-huh.
It originates from Central and West Africa and is now primarily grown in the lowland areas of Vietnam, Brazil, and Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
It likes the lower altitudes of 0 to 700 meters and can withstand hotter and more humid climates. Robusta plants are hardier, more resistant to pests and diseases, and easier to grow, which makes them more cost-effective.
Very interesting. Now, Arabica, on the other hand, is known for its smooth, sweet taste with notes of fruit berries and a pleasant acidity. It's often a complex flavor profile with a hint of chocolate, sugar, making it a highly favored coffee by coffee enthusiasts.
Well, I'm an enthusiast, but I still have to represent our friend Robusta,
uh-huh,
which is characterized by a stronger, more bitter taste with earthy, woody, and sometimes nutty or chocolatey undertones. There's a higher caffeine content, which contributes to that bold and robust flavor, often described as harsh or grainy.
Very interesting. Now, for those of you who might be interested and live in an area, like where we do, there's a grocer called Fresh Market, and there they happen to have open barrels of Arabica coffee, and they probably have some Robusta there too, I would imagine. I didn't look that close when I was once there, but you can actually see the beans, feel the beans, taste the beans if you want to pull one out of the barrel. A little interesting to see such a thing. And basically, Arabica beans are generally larger, oval-shaped, and they have curved crease, which I have noticed before I grind them up to make a cup of coffee. They're also oilier, which contributes to their smoother taste.
Well, okay for the smoother taste, but those Robusta beans are smaller, rounder, and have a straight crease, for those of you who don't like crooked creases. They contain fewer oils, which results in that more bitter taste.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I do have to say, though, Arabica accounts for about 70% of the global coffee throughout the markets, and it's often considered the superior in taste. And, as I have said, a bit more expensive for its complex flavor profile and higher cultivation costs.
Aha. So that makes Robusta the underdog, because it only makes up 30% of global coffee and is commonly used in the espresso blends for its ability to produce a thick crema and an instant coffee due to its flavor and lower cost.
I must say that I really do love a thick crema on top of my coffee now that I've found that that is such a thing. And, hey, I've advanced. I used to call it foam. No longer. Now I do call it crema. Yeah, you got to call it crema. I guess in conclusion, and what our real goal is for all of this is, of course, to teach us and you a little something about coffee. But personal preference is what this all basically falls under. And Robusto and Arabica, although they have unique characteristics, it's basically personal preference. Once again, Arabica is smooth, sweet, and complex. And Robusta is strong, bold, and bitter. And it, though, is also used many times for espressos, as well as the wonderful instant coffees, which we can all purchase.
Blah.
Well, finally, introduction to coffee in America. Unfortunately, for those of you who don't like dates, there will be a couple of dates mentioned in this segment. For those of you who do like dates, you'll be very happy. Let's just start with coffee being introduced to America. The first mention of coffee in America, here we go with the date, was back in 1607 by good old Captain John Smith. He was cruising the open seas and happened to stop in Turkey, and he observed coffee being cultivated, and he brought it back and introduced it to the Jamestown colonists, who we know didn't have really great luck, but at least they had good coffee, I guess, from Turkey. However, it wasn't really until 1670 when, Dorothy Jones, she became actually the first person in America to receive a license to be able to sell coffee in Boston. And so Boston, Massachusetts colonists were the first written references of coffee actually begins in America.
Well, early Americans were slow to adopt coffee. Their drinking habits were more tea, hard cider, and ale. Who could blame them? Coffee houses began to emerge, though, throughout England, New England, in the mid-1700s, though tea remained the favorite beverage until political events shifted cultural preferences.
The political event was the good old Boston Tea Party of 1773. Americans had just about enough of their tea, and, of course, a lot of it went into the harbor, and individual colonists and patriots began drinking coffee, which became a huge consumption surge, and public coffee houses were created in America as taverns and other locations began to not only serving liquor, beer, but they also began serving coffee. The shift was so significant that even prominent figures like George Washington became coffee importers. And his wife, Martha, reportedly perfected her own coffee brewing process.
And things just went on and on from there. By the 1800s, 1824, Thomas Jefferson declared coffee would become the beverage of the civilized world, cementing its place in America.
And boy, did it get cemented. It didn't take all that long before there was the birth of the coffee break tradition. Coffee break tradition in America has multiple origins. It all points to the earliest 20th century, and there was a great boost in worker productivity they noticed when they took a break and had a little coffee, because coffee does have some health benefits, which in the future we'll get into a little bit. And back in 1902, Barcelo Manufacturing in Buffalo, New York, began coffee breaks, believing that their employees would be working more productive by having a little coffee break. Then in World War II, the Weaver, Wigwam Weaver Company, who made ties, had hired a bunch of elderly women because it was World War II, and they coined the phrase coffee break because they found the women needed a break to perform the duties of making men's ties. And so they gave themselves a coffee break, and there it was. It was created.
Well, you know, I had to look that up real quick on Google, and sure enough, in Denver, tie maker Phil Greenitz lost his best weavers to the armed forces during World War II. He hired elderly women for his little 20 looms lost wigwam weavers. They were fine workers, but tired easily. At their suggestion, he experimented with 15-minute rest breaks morning and afternoon and provided coffee. When Greenitz found that workers who took the break produced more ties, naturally, he made it compulsory.
Yeah, why not?
But since wages were frozen, he couldn't pay his employees for that time. The employees didn't care, and production soared.
How interesting. Well, I can tell you, I did have a job. I've had 22 jobs altogether in my lifetime, and one of them was in a warehouse-type atmosphere, and I will just never forget. 10 o'clock in the morning, like clockwork, there would be a bang, bang, bang on the metal door at the back of the facility from in the alley. The door would fly open, and we would hear, "Coffee truck!" And it was the coffee truck lady showing up to give us all our well-deserved and needed coffee break, which that, along with everything else, made coffee into the modern culture that it has emerged into since the early 1900s. And this movement, of course, emphasizes sustainably, locally produced, transparent sourcing and practices to make coffee into one heck of a big industry.
And we are definitely modern, I'll tell you. Especially coffee houses, say Starbucks, and others, now feature expert baristas who can discern complex flavor profiles and educate customers about bean origins and brewing techniques. It's amazing. The culture blends mass availability from chains with a thriving independent cafe scene, where coffee shops serve as community hubs and workspaces.
They definitely do. I mean, especially since COVID arrived, even with it departing and the world becoming more normalized again, there's all kinds of different changes, of course. One of them, people working from home and or working from within coffee houses. They bring their computer, they get a table, they buy a little coffee, they buy a little sweet roll, whatever is offered, and they're at work. So consumers increasingly prioritize the ethical sourcing, the innovative brewing methods, which there's a whole bunch of brewing methods, of course, today, and the integration of coffee rituals into their daily lives and work environments. Well, as in continuing with coffee, we ended that last little segment on American rituals. And wow, if you want to know rituals, I think it's only natural that we jump from American right into Jordanian coffee. They call it Arabic coffee. It's basically traditionally brewed coffee of Arabica beans. Jordanian coffee, though, is known as Arabic coffee, and it's special for its unique flavor, and it's got insane cultural traditions. We'll hit on some of those surrounding its preparation and consumption. The distinct flavor of Jordanian coffee, well, that comes from a little bit of an addition of the cardamom spice to the coffee grounds before brewing.
Cardamom, what it is, a spice, mm-hmm. and it imparts a warm, slightly sweet, aromatic taste that sets it apart from regular Turkish coffee.
Interesting. And, you know, the cardamom flavor can be strong for some. Other people may love it. It's kind of like, what do they call that coffee in the South where they add, is it
chicory? With chicory?
Chicory, yes. Yeah. Yes, so I guess.
Yeah, there's a chain of coffee shops called Blue Bottle.
Ooh.
And they specialize in chicory coffee.
Chicory coffee.
Another site visit we're going to have to do, Mark.
Man, that's just, who would have ever thought? I mean, it just, again, I used to just call it coffee. and so, yeah, the cardamom flavor is very strong to some. And it's yet an integral part of the Jordanian experience.
What is really interesting to me when we were doing this research on the subject, and I really appreciate the homework you did on this, mm-hmm. that the Jordanian coffee, what really makes it unique is the deep-rooted cultural significance. This is part of their life, the rituals associated with drinking coffee in Jordan. It's a highly social activity, and it's full of meaningful gestures and symbolisms. So maybe you can tell us a little more about that, Mark.
Well, it's very interesting. For example, the way it's served, the way you hold the cup, it's accepted and consumed. It can convey respect, hospitality, even communicate intentions between hosts and guests. If someone were to offer you Jordanian coffee, like, you can't turn it down. You can't say, no, sorry, I don't feel like any coffee right now. It ensures quality because the person who produces that cup of coffee, they get first taste. And if it isn't quite right, they're not even going to serve it to their guests. And if it's, you know, the eldest in that guest, they get it first after that. I mean, it's a ritual.
So you're telling me that when we have our Jordanian coffee, I'm going to have to wait for you to be served first. Okay, I get it, Mark. So
yes,
Jordanian
sir.
Coffee isn't a beverage. It's a means of social bonding, expressing their values, you know, their culture, maintaining traditions that go all the way back to their Bedouin heritage, which is like really the coolest story I ever heard about coffee. And I've been drinking coffee since I was a kid. So rituals are surrounding it in a unique way. Opens up a little picture of Jordan's rich culture and their hospitality and their etiquette.
I mean, yeah, there's a whole etiquette that's involved. The Bedouins, you know, they start with the bean, which has been dried in the sun, and they grind it down. And again, it's a whole formal process. The host pours for himself first to ensure the quality, serves the eldest guest first, and then all the others. And yes, Mark, you're right. I would, that means get the first cup. If I come over to your home for a cup of coffee, it facilitates social bonding, actually. And it expresses very hugely the cultural values in the Jordanian community.
Well, I'll see you at my house.
Get the coffee ready. Okay, Mark. Well, now we're into the one of my favorite parts, I think, about coffee. It's the health benefits. We've already talked about the beans themselves, the history of coffee, the culture of coffee, and, of course, the ever-famous coffee break, which you can't take unless you have coffee. So, for example, you know, coffee contains caffeine, and we all know caffeine is something that can enhance our alertness, improve our concentration. It even boosts our mood. You wake up tired and sluggish in the morning, and you have yourself a cup of coffee, and you're ready to go. Improved memory is always good with a cup of coffee. Interesting enough, having coffee, they have found, can also reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes if you drink coffee virtually every day, one cup or more. Hey, Mark, you have something interesting to tell us about the health benefits of coffee?
Well, Mark, I really appreciate you asking me. Mm-hmm. You know, with coffee consumption, there's a lot of things that can be to your benefit. One of them is with Alzheimer's. They've found that it can perhaps lead to a less of a risk of Alzheimer's.
And interesting.
To me, that's really important, having it in my family history. Mm-hmm. Then it also has been known to reduce the effects of Parkinson's. But it's going to be a long time till we really find out anything for sure, because it takes a long time for these studies to actually come up with facts. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of research. It's almost ridiculous. And if Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's wasn't enough, there's a whole ton of research about cancers.
Wow.
Liver, prostate, breast, colorectal. I can't even say these cancers.
That's one of the number one killers right now is colorectal cancer.
Yeah, it's
for
scary.
Young people, even people in their 40s, young 40s, and drink more coffee.
I used to always think it was weird to get screened, but you know, since I turned 50, it's like every 5 or 10 years.
Oh, it's an automatic.
And Mark, I think you know a little bit of something about coffee and the liver.
Actually, Mark, I do. What I learned was this is pretty crazy, and I'm not recommending for anybody to start pounding the beers or taking the shots of whiskey. But they've actually found, I guess, coffee can help reduce liver cancer. That's pretty interesting piece of medical information. Coffee also, as I don't know if we realize it or not, but coffee can help your physical performance. It, actually, if you're going to do endurance type activities, it might not be a bad idea to have some coffee before you perform those endurance activities.
Well, wait a second. Let me tell you something about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are studies about coffee drinkers lowering their risk of premature death from all kinds of causes. One and near dear to me is heart disease.
Wow.
And then cancer, too. So, you know, how is that possible just from a regular cup of Joe? It's amazing. Then, you know, on top of that, and everybody nowadays, everybody I talk to, they're all about antioxidants, you know, mm-hmm. vitamin this, vitamin that. You know, you got to eat broccoli, you got to eat kale, you got to eat, you know, lots of fish and all the
yogurt.
And, oh, yogurt, yeah, yogurt. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. You know, I think peanuts and popcorn and everything's got antioxidants in it.
Yes.
And there's this crazy thing called polyphenols.
Hmm.
I think I actually said that right.
Nice job.
Which actually reduces the damage that happens to our cells.
Uh-huh.
And having heart disease, I wish I had known this like 50 years ago, but I didn't. So here I am, and I think you know a little bit more about heart health, don't you?
Huh, let me tell you, improved heart health, this is pretty crazy. Moderate coffee consumption, and what they consider moderate is actually 3 to 5 cups a day.
Oh, goody.
That's awesome. Instead of one cup of coffee in the morning, I can have a couple and then have more coffee later on. It's actually... We don't like to talk percentages in that, but they found, I guess, a 15% reduction in cardiovascular disease risk by drinking 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day. And altogether, as we've noted, 9 of these different medical benefits with coffee. And the final one, number 10, actually has to do with consuming coffee and helping your, here's another big word, microbiome diversity.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I know what that is.
Which, if your microbiome diversity is not right, then your overall health is not right. And they have found that coffee can actually make your overall health better pretty crazy. Mark, I think you have something final to say and tell our audience about coffee.
After all that, let me wrap it up that all these potential benefits are promising, and individuals are going to respond to it in different ways. So, like we always hear, everything in our lives, moderation is key.
Absolutely.
How many times has my PCP told me that? So, we've heard about the studies, and 3 to 5 cups of coffee, that's about what I need to get fully caffeinated, and I enjoy being fully caffeinated. To have my Doppio Campano with one raw sugar, please. Additionally, very importantly, for pregnant women and people with certain health conditions, you really have to be sensitive if you have a caffeine reaction. So talk to your primary health care provider about your coffee consumption.
Well, let me tell you, this has been an amazing journey. The amount of content that I found in doing the research for a simple thing like coffee was astounding. And just like when they do TV shows, commercials, write a book, whatever it is, some things that end up on the editing floor. And that's actually what happened with trying to figure out what the heck to talk about when it came to coffee. There's just so much information, so many devices, so many diners in America and ways of making coffee. And it just goes on and on and on. Coffee, cup of joe, black gold has always been and will forever be so much more than just a caffeinated beverage. Coffee's power, it's made some people super wealthy. It's made others maybe healthier, as we learned, more alert, and even fanatical when it comes to coffee. You don't want to argue with a Starbucker. You cannot conform them to be a Double D'er or a Speedwayer. It's not going to happen. It's this is like war, which coffee has been fought over, as I say. Words like grande, latte, espresso, americano are just a few of the ways to say coffee. It goes on and on and on, from a simple morning pick-me-up to a nearly unlimited number of varieties, flavors, uses. Just go to a pod store, and it's like insane, all the different flavors of coffee. Go to a Starbucks, and it's more than coffee. Coffee is embedded by cultures throughout the world. To paraphrase Maxwell House, they used to say in their commercials, coffee is truly good to the last drop. Mark and I really appreciate and thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Sunset Conversations.
Yes, we do.
We hope you enjoyed this week's journey into another mixed bag topic. Until the next time, keep your curiosity alive and your heart and mind open. If you enjoyed today's show, why not share it with a friend who might appreciate our blend of diverse topics and curiosities?
And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to catch our next episode.
Please visit our homepage, bullfrogentertainment.com. There you will find our podcast notes and links. We look forward to your questions, suggestions, and comments. Send them to info@bullfrogentertainment.com.